Okay, we start with the Mishnah in the bottom of Chav Berem at Bet. Mishnah says, "Marchikim et sudam min shovach arba amot." You have to put a sulam, you have to put up a ladder, and the ladder not for the shovach, but to get to the wall or something nearby. You have to distance it from the shovach itself and the dovekot. So that the whatever small animal this is, predator that would eat, right, the doves in the dovecot, we want to ensure that he can't jump from the ladder to the dovecot. So we have to give a sufficient distance where he couldn't do that. So you have to move a wall away from the, let's say it used to be like the gutters, right, or the runners off the gutters. The reason I have to do that is because you have to offer, it's a case where you sold the rights or the usage or the property to this individual to use and to place a ladder there. And the Mishnah is telling us what's the amount of space you must leave him in order to have the ability to put up a ladder. That's 4 amot. So if you're going to put up a wall, you're going to have to give him the rights or the ability to place a ladder, which would be giving him 4 amot. So when it says, Lema must need to look Rabbi Yossi. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi, we've seen Rabbi Yossi a number of times. Haman, we know that he says, Zeh chofer b'toch shalo, v'zeh noteach b'toch shalo. I can do what I want in my property, you do what you want in your property, and we don't worry about the implications, right, later on. So why over here? Mar says, why over here do we worry about the implications of my actions rather than just say, I'm in my own property, don't bother me, I'm in my own property. So Afilu Tema Rabbi Yossi. Even Rabbi Yossi can agree here, Hama Rav Ashi. So as we've seen a number of times, this qualification in the din of Rabbi Yossi. When it's his arrows, when it's direct damage coming from you, then we don't permit it. I mean, that Rabbi Yossi permits is a case by a tree and a boar, where the tree itself, it's only future possibilities of damage is that the tree might grow roots that eventually will affect the boar. But right now, when he plants the tree is not detrimental to the boar. As opposed to when you put up a ladder, right away, right, the predator could get to the dovecote immediately. There's no delay. There's no right suspension of the nezek that would come. So Hachanami would say zimnim dehadi manachle, right? Tavo b'chor b'kafza. The Gemara says, what's going to happen? He's going to put the ladder in there. Or Yatva, I'm sorry. Yatva b'chor, he sits in his hole. He's waiting in his hole. You put up the ladder, and then it goes. I mean, basically, he's waiting for the prey. He sees you bringing the ladder out, then he's going to just wait to put up the ladder and go right away. So there is no delay. There's no suspension of the nezek in this case because the damage can be done immediately. Now, Vaha, where it says Gromahu, even if you want to suggest that Rabbi Yossi agrees Begiri delay, let's at least suggest that it's Groma. And we know that Groma bin Izakin is, right, Patur. One is not Chayav when it comes to Groma bin Izakin. Now the habimin of the Gemara here is clearly that Groma bin Izakin is Patur and Mutar. I mean that not only is it Patur, but it's also Mutar. As we're going to see from the next statement of the Gemara, that's the Gemara's was entertaining the other possibility, which is Amar Rav Tubi Bar Matna Zot Meretz Groma bin Izakin Asur. That's the answer. The answer is yes, it's Patur, Aval, Asur. So obviously the Havamina was that it was Patur and Mutar. And now the Gemara comes along and says, no, we can conclude from this Mishnah, we can conclude that Groma bin Izakin is Asur because here, despite the fact that it's a Groma, we will not permit you to do it. Because it's Giri delay, and even though it's Groma, it'll be Asur over here. Tosus tries to deal with issues like Garmi, and how do we differentiate in Grama, and why in the cases of Garmi, are we Mechalek, and we don't say over there that you're Patur, you're Chayav? It's interesting, just in the end, the Ritzbah says that Dina de Garmi, Havimitam Knas. The Garmi is not an issue of directed damage, but rather it's an own issue of Knas. It's a fine that the Chamim imposed. Why? Because the Chamim went to impose Knas anytime it was Hezek HaMatsui V'Ragil, something that was common and it would occur on a regular basis. Chamim put up a Knas, and the reason for such a Knas is that so not every individual will go and be Mazik his friend. I mean, if you don't prevent such action, people are just going to go and act for their own benefit and not worry about the implications for their friend. So we establish a Knas in order to inhibit people from doing or acting in such a manner. And that's the same reason of Hezek Sheino Nikar. And maybe even, all these different hezek, where technically you should be patur. And nevertheless, there's an opinion or a day in Chazal that you're chayav. The reason you're chayav is that we're trying to prevent, right, people going willy-nilly and causing damage to their friends in situations which are very common. That's what Tosfos wants to differentiate between Grama b'nizakin, where you are patur, whereas you have Garmi, where you are chayav. I mean, you could have differentiated, and there are others that differentiate, right, between the action, right, that the Garmi, because, like, for instance, the Rabbeinu Yitzchak says that the Dina Garmi, because he says that you do the Hezek yourself in Garmi, and also the Dina Garmi is because it's from the Masa. From the action itself comes the Hezek, rather than be a delay or some sort of interim step to reach the Hezek. So that's the other possibility. One possibility of describing the difference between Garmi and Groma is actually about the action itself. How direct is the action? Garmi is a more directed action, or a more, right, we'd say closer to doing it by Yadayim. And Groma is a step removed, and that's the difference. But the Ritzba says no. He thinks that the difference is all about Knas. It's not about the action. It's all about the possibilities, or the percentages, or the likelihood that something will happen. And those likelihoods, the Chachamim established a knas in order to prevent or inhibit people from doing such a thing. Now, Rav Yosef Abu Hanoi Talit, he had these date trees. Abu Atu Umne, he had the blood letters were coming along, and they were sitting under the trees. And of course, bloodletting under the trees. And what do you do with the blood that you let? You put it on the ground, you dump it right out afterwards. So they're doing it under his trees. Now, it must be that it's not directly on his property, but rather they're neighboring, meaning they're proximate or adjacent to his trees, and they're doing that on their own property. Vata orve, and then, of course, the orvim, right, the ravens come, and achle domo, they were excited by the blood, so they came to, you know, visit Yosef's property and eat the blood. Ve'sake beitale. And where do they hang out, waiting for the blood below? They hang out in his palm trees, right, his date trees above. Umafsa de tamre. And from that, they cause damage to the fruits of his trees. Amalur Yosef, afukili karkor me'acha. He says, get rid of these, actually says korkor is the sound of the raven. So get rid of me these crying, these screaming ravens from here. So I'm like, bye, vahagromahu. What can I do for you? It's groma. They're not directly damaging your palm trees. They're letting blood, which causes ravens to come, and those ravens that come are now causing the damage. It's all groma. We know groma bin Yizokin is patur. So you really don't have any claim here. He says, Amalei, Hochamar Tuvi Bar Matna. Right? So that's what we had before the quote in the Gemara before. Zotomer, it's groma bin Yizokin Asur. So he says, look, you're right. Groma bin Yizokin is patur, but nevertheless, it's Asur. We can prevent them not, I can't demand of them to make payment or restitution to me. Right, or but I can at least demand that they desist and cease from doing such action because it's asur. So Mar says, they have a chazakah. They have a chazakah. So what does it mean that they have a chazakah over here? So Tosfos says, the Ri says, Rav Mordechai came and shlo balak zik bekarka chavero. This is different than a chazakah when you come and claim that I own this property. Well, this is my property. There, not only do you have to say I have a chazakah, but you have to make a claim that I bought it, I purchased it. How did you come into possession of this property? Over here, at least, the Ri Bar Mordechai claims that you need no taina. All you have to say is I have a chazakah. I don't have to have a claim because all I'm asking is that I have an easement, I have a right of usage. That right of usage, right, existed, and then I don't need a claim. And Tosfos the end seems to back a little bit away from this, but he thinks that, or at least in some cases, back away from this, that you do need such a chazakah, that you do need, when you have a chazakah like this, you also need a taina to go along with it. Because what type of chazakah is it that I did it for so long, right? I mean, although we do have that in modern law, easements can be established without any claim, just that the fact that I had a right to do this for so long, right, might establish an easement. Although we've seen before that Rabbeinu Tam claims that these easements can only establish when you had permission at some point to do this. If you did it illegally, it does not establish an easement. Right now, Amar Achzik Tuhu, so then there's a chazakah. So it says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Ein chazakah l'nizakin. Chazakah cannot be established when you're making or causing damage to others. There's no such concept. Chazakah is only, yes, you have rights of usage, but the right to damage others does not exist. That's what he says, yes, over here. V'la v'itmar la. So he says, then we qualify that statement. We qualify that statement of Rav Nachman, that is not a general statement. It's not a general principle that you may not cause damage with an easement. Right? Because Rav Bar Yamar b'kutra, it's unique to a case of smoke. Right? What does that mean, smoke? Any smoke? Tosis suggests over here that the smoke is like an intense type of smoke, which is a kutra de kibshan. It's to be of the these types of ovens where they heavy duty ovens that give off a ton of smoke, which is just unbearable. And therefore, that's when you cannot make a chazaka with nizokim. And Rav Zvi Amar bebeit hakise, that it's a bathroom. Now, the bathroom here, Rashi says, is al gavi akarka. It's like a portajon type of situation, not a situation where it's embedded in the ground. And the reason the Re suggests this is because by beit hakise above ground, the smell is unbearable. Whereas below ground, and it gets covered up, then the smell can be managed. So in those two instances, those are the unique cases where we say there is no chazakah. Now Rabbeinu Tam goes as far as to say that even if he made a kinyan, even if he says that he made a kinyan on it, and then he has a right to use this, you sold him the right, you knew about it, and he makes a kinyan, the Rabbeinu Tam says you can back out of it. Because you could say, I thought I could handle the situation, and I realized afterwards I just can't have it. Right? We had a similar case that Yevamos, it was by the individuals who are less than pleasant to live with, right? The woman could say, I thought I could manage the situation, I thought I could deal with it, and then she says, I can't handle it. I can't handle the smell. So over here too, they say, even that's what Rabbeinu Tam suggests, right? Although the Tosos rejects that and says, Eino Nira, that it's the case. If you make a chazak, if you make a kinyan, right, that suggests that you can then overcome the difficulty by making a kinyan. So that chazak only exists here when you're not possibly making that kinyan. So now Rav Yosef is in trouble, because even though it's Grom of Nizakim, which is Patur, he said it's Asur, but here he has a chazakah. So he says, well, there's no chazakah ben Nizakim. The Gemara rejects and says, the chazakah ben Nizakim is narrow. It's to a bathroom and a smoke. So he says, no, I'm like, he says that I am an istanis, basically. And to me, this is the equivalent of a bathroom and smoke. Like in my eyes, this nezek is not like regular nezek. This is a nezek to me, the equivalent of beta kise and kutro. And since it's in that qualification, in that classification, therefore it is under the hetter that are under the memra that ain chazaka binizakim, that there is no chazaka binizakim over here, and therefore you could, or at least Rav Yosef believes you could remove them, these blood letters that were causing problems to his dates. And now, Machikim et Shovach Menair Chamishim Amah. This is actually a Gemara that we saw together in Baba Kama, that one has to remove the dovecot from the city at least 50 Amah distance. And for that reason, a person who is in his own property has to only establish a dovecot in his own property when he has 50 amot of property surrounding the dovecot from each side. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beit Arba'at Kurim, that you have to leave a distance of 4 kur, in that it's not sufficient chamishim ama over here, but you need Beit Arba'at Kurim in order to prevent them. Malei Shagara Yonah, the amount of the flight of a dove. As he says, the natural flight of the dove is that amount, and therefore, that's the amount you have to leave. Vim lechol. If you purchase the property with the dove coat on it, you purchase a piece of property, has a dove coat on it, and the dove coat has less than 50 amot, or less than Beit Arba'at Kurim, depending who you're learning like here, around it, surrounding it, you do then, no problem. Afeit beit ruba, even if it's a small like a ruba kav, are you bechezkato? You bechazaka that the dovecote already was, almost had a variance to be here, or existed somehow beforehand without a problem. Assumption that the individual who had it before you purchased the right to put it there, despite the fact that it didn't have the proper distancing, or for whatever reason that he has there. We say, fine, if you buy it like that and it exists, we assumed it was done there beheter. So now Gemara says, Chamishim amah v'tulo. This is what the Gemara and Baba Kama discuss. What do you mean, 50 amot? 50 amot is sufficient? Remimhi, I have a question. Ein porsim nishbin liyonim, elim kena yerachok meni yishuv shloshim ris. But you can't put out traps for doves unless you are 30 ris away from the city. So you've done that 30 ris, you've done an expanse that is 4 mil. 4 mil is much more than 50 amot. It's not even, they're not even within like the same category of distance. No, they fly. Doves will fly further distances. So they will fill their bellies within 50 amot. So when you're talking about out in the fields, when you have to put up the distance in the fields, you have to leave a gap of 50 amot. Because within 50 amot, the doves will eat, and therefore they will not go and eat from your friend's property. They won't go and feast or dinner on the properties that surround it. But when it comes to capturing a dove, then when you're talking about ownership of doves, then doves can be owned even in distances that are further, because they will fly distances that are greater than the 50 amot. We're just talking about filling their belly, which is the problem in the Mishnah and other places where it causes you to distance. In the fields, our issue is not about stealing, it's about them eating your friend's tevuah. So there, 50 amot is sufficient. Whereas by the city, the problem is that of theft. Theft could be perpetrated even in larger distances because they fly further. So where it says, Umisha Chloshim Ris Vitulo, is that the limit? A dove's limit of flight is 30 ris. Is that really true? Vatanya. We have a brisa that says, Uvishuv Afeya Afilu Mea Mil. When it comes to a settled area, then you say even 100 mil is not sufficient. So now, Lo Yifros, you know how to put it up. Yosef Amar, the answer is Vishuv Kramim. The Yishuv they're talking about there is Yishuv Kramim, which is that there are successive vineyards along the way. So the doves can hop from vineyard to vineyard. By hopping from vineyard to vineyard, they're able to extend their flight or the distance that they are able to go beyond the normal 30 ris. 30 ris is a unrefueled, no refueling, they can go that far. But when it comes to refueling, then they can exhibit further distances than that. Rav Amar Bishuv Shuvchim. They're dealing with successive dovecotes. So they can hop from dovecote to dovecote, and that will allow them to get greater distances. Where it says, typically, Mishum Shuvchim Yuvayu. What do you need the city anymore? What do you need Yishuv? If you have a Shovach, then of course the doves that are in the Shovach, each successive Shovach, could also fly additional 50 amot, according to the, or 30 ris. So if that's the case, then why do you worry about the one from the city? Why don't you worry about the one from the deck last dovecote? Where it says, Ibai Seima Diday, that the dovecotes belong to the one who put the traps out. So he doesn't have to worry about that. But the ones in the dovecotes, he doesn't have to worry about because they're his. Or, Ibai Seima Diknaani, they're non-Jewish dovecotes, And that's obviously not the sugya here, the sugya in Baba Kama and other places, about Gezel Knani and what the issue here is about the capturing. Ibai Seima the Hefker, that those dovecotes that exist there are Hefker, and therefore taking the doves from those dovecotes are not a problem. The only one is from the Yishuv. Tosfos here discusses like he does in the Baba Kama, which is that how do you deal with the Brisa? The Brisa says that Yishuv, afilu mea mil, even 100 mil is not sufficient, which suggests that there's an unlimited distance from the Yishuv. If there's an unlimited distance from the Yishuv, that means there's nowhere where you can have traps, because everywhere is some distance from settled territory. So Tosfos tries to reconcile over here that with the definition of Yishuv and Midbar, is different than we're suggesting, at least according to the conclusion of the Gemara, that the Yishuv that we're talking about here is Yishuv Zra'im and not Yishuv settled or inhabited area. We're talking about areas that are Yishuv Zra'im, and the answer to the Gemara is that we're talking about not Yishuv Zra'im, but rather Yishuv Shovchim and Kramim. So that's the idea. It's not talking about any inhabited area, it's talking about areas that have plantings or are farmed areas. And the answer of the Gemara is that we're not talking about farm areas, we're talking about vineyards or shovchim, which are limited expressions of, or qualifications of where we find such a hopping or long distant flight by the doves. So now, Amar Papa v'Yitam Rav Zid, Zot Omeret Toanim L'Lokeach V'Toanim L'Riyowish. From here we see that Beis Din will step in to the favor of a purchaser or inheritor. Why? What does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says, Zim Lacho, if he purchases a piece of property and there's an existing dovecote on it, afilu beit ruba, even if it's a small property that surrounds it, harihu b'chezkato, it has or remains under the chazakah that it was done properly. So now over here, we don't suggest or we don't demand of lokeach to make a claim that he somehow the one he purchased it from had the rights here, or the one that his father had bought the rights. We don't say that. All he has to prove is that he purchased from them, and the one before him had it b'chazakah, had such a chazakah. So lokeach, or the yoresh over here, is not demanded to prove that some point of time there was access granted to the person who lived here. All he's got to prove is that the person prior to him, which is either the father or the seller, had the rights for 3 years. If he had the right for 3 years, or he had the right somehow, then that's all he has to go ahead and prove, because then he's purchased that right that the other individual had. What he doesn't have to do is make a claim that the previous party bought the right or got the right. So that's, what do we suggest from that? That Beis Din does it on his behalf. That Beis Din will say that once he can prove that there's a chazaka from the prior party, we will say that the prior party bought it, or that the father purchased that right. So Gemara says, wait, why do you need that? We already have those. Those are explicit in Mishnayot in other places. Yoresh Tanina. We already know that about a Yoresh Tanina. Ba Mishum Yerusha Enu Tzarich Tana. We have that. It's explicit. That a person who comes as a Yoresh only has to prove that his father was there for 3 years as a Chazaka. He has to make no claim about how his father came into possession of the property. Lokeach Itzrich Le. The man says, no, we need it because of Lokeach. You're right. Yoresh would have known from the other Mishnah, but our Mishnah we need because of Yoresh. Lokeach, I'm sorry. The man says, Lokeach Nami Tanina. That's also an explicit Mishnah. Lakach Chatzer. He buys a Chatzer courtyard. Uvazizim Gusterot. He has these projections or projectiles that go out of the wall of the Chatzer into the Rishut Rabim, which is illegal. One may not extend or have projectiles going into Rishut Rabim because it diminishes or it hurts. It's mazik the Rishut Rabim, the people in the Rabim. It diminishes their uses because they can't come up to the wall. So you may not have these types of projectiles or projections out towards Rishut Rabim. And you're also possibly accessing the airspace of the Rishut Rabim without permission. So Gemara says, if that's the case, then if that case, he gets a chazakah. And over here, we don't demand of him to make a claim how the chazer came into possession. So Mary says, we already have both of the chidushim in our Mishnah, that we are toning the lokeach or toning the yoresh, are both explicit Mishnayot in other places. Mary says, tzricha, we need both of them. Diashmin and otam, gavir shut rabim. Had you told me about the case of Lokeach, I would imor konis l'toch shalohu. We can make a claim that what? That he moved the wall into his own property. Or we can say that the Tuveir, the leaders of the city, right, the council, city council granted him the right, but Madayir, and therefore he got some sort of permission. Of Al-Hocha, when we're talking about Yachid, right, of Al-Yachid, by an individual we will say no. We will say that either, right, he has no ability to access the rights of this individual here because, right, there's no way he can do it without affecting the other individual. Meaning when you move the wall into your own property, you protected the people of the Rabim, or you've done what you were supposed to do. Over here, you can't move your dovecote because your dovecote is just too close to the border. There is just no way to say that you did it in a mutar manner. Also, we will not say or suggest over here that he was a chulei meichel, because we would suggest that the individual is damaged over here, all the damage accrues to that single individual. As opposed to when you're talking about a Rabim, then everybody in the Rabim is damaged somewhat, but no individual is taking all the burden of the damage. So since it's not one individual taking all the burden, they're willing to be mochel. But an individual who would then bear all the brunt of the damage, he would not be willing to be mochel. If you told over here that came to Yachidu, Emo, if you say Paisa, you could say over here by an individual, you can pay him off. You could somehow convince him to allow you to do such a item. But Inami Achuli Achugabe, or that he forgave this situation and that he grant you such a right. Rabin, Man Pais, my Shavik. Who's the one who you're going to go to pay off? And who's the one that who's going to forgive you? I mean that when you're dealing with a Rabim, it's very hard to get the permission of everyone to do such an item. Same Allah, so we'll say no, tzricha. So therefore each one is teaching us the chiddush. One, the chiddush of the yachid, and one, the chiddush of the Rabim. So that each one of them has a chiddush here, and therefore we had to place both of them here. Even though technically by Yoresh, you would also need both of these items, Rabim and Yachid. And yet, right, why doesn't the Gemara suggest this? The Gemara says that once we had it by Lokeach, we could have applied it to Yoresh. That's what Tosa says. Just like Lokeach, it would apply to Yoresh. And therefore, we'd only need Lokeach to have both of these perspectives. And if Yoresh is mentioned in one of the two, we would know it applies to both of them in that case. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Harihu b'chezkato. It's in his chazaka. V'amar Rav Nachman Amar Barvua in chazaka l'nizokin. It's a classic case where you have a chazaka to do what? To damage your friend's property. You have a dovecote within proximity to your friend's property where he's going to damage it. That's not true. That's not a general principle that there's no chazak in the zikim. That's only in extreme forms of nezek. Extreme forms of nezek are outhouses that are above ground and heavy-duty smoke. These are not within that category of extreme type of nezek. Right now, next Mishnah, on top of the Amud Bet. Nipol animsa b'toch 50 amah. You have a gozel. You have some young chick that is found within 50 amot of the dovecot. The underlying assumption is it belongs to the dovecot that was in within 50 amot of this young chick. Chutz mi 50 amah, if it's outside of, with outside the circumference of 50 amot from the dovecot, then it's shel motzo. Whoever found it, it's his. Nimsa ben shovchot, if it's found between two dovecotes, korov lezeshelo, whichever one it's closer to. The one it's closer to, it's his, korov lezeshelo. Right, it's it. Mechsa, mechsa, shneim yachloku. If it's exactly 50-50, they split it. So Amar Rabbi China, Rabbi Chanina says, rov, karov, hochim, achar, arov. Hey, when it comes to rov and karov, you go after the rov. Va'avagav deruba doraisa, ve'kurva doraisa. Even though both of them are principles min haTorah. How do you know that they're both principles min haTorah? Rov is a principle in haTorah because it says achrei rabim atot. Karov is a principle doraisa because they have it by egla arufa. Vayir akrova, the chalal, the city that is closest to the chalal will be the ones who have to bring the egla arufa. So you see, both principles are, right, promoted or sanctioned by the Torah as being proper vehicles for decisions. Rov and karov are both used in that. So despite the fact that they're both usable, afilu ochi, despite the fact, ruba odif. Rov dictates. Alright, so now we're going to ask questions or we're going to challenge this idea that rov dictates in the face of rov and karov. Meitiv Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, what do you mean? Vaya yira kuvay la chalal. It says that the city will be, right, the one that is closer to the chalal. Even though there's a city with more residents, right, that is greater within, you know, some decent proximity here, right? So if that's the case, we would suggest over here by Egla Rufa, which is the source for Karov, that Karov would stand in the face of Rov. Because despite the fact that there's a city with a greater number of residents, which would dictate that the likelihood is the killer came from that city, which is the Rov, nevertheless, we go after Karov. So here you see, even from the source in the Torah, where Karov is, it upends, or it stands, even in the face of Rov. I says, but Deleka. I'm sorry, the case of Egla Ruf is a case where there is no city with a larger number of residents around. I says, Velizo Bata Ruba Dalma. If you want to talk about Rov, you can talk about Rov, that is what? Ruba Dalma even Ruba Dalma. So when it says, B'yoshevet ben harim. The case of Egla Rufa is when it's, it's perched in a valley, perched is the wrong word there, but placed in a valley between mountains. I mean, that it's isolated somewhat. And since it's isolated somewhat, Rupa the Alma don't reach there. All their robes are not dictated by the world as a whole because they are somewhat isolated from the world as a whole. So you can assume that the fact that they are close to this area where the mate is found is because whatever happened came from this city. And therefore, both in these instances, it's Rov and Karov. Now, Tosus points out over here that this is all the questions of the Gemara over here are being asked because of Rav Chanina's position. Rav Chanina has a position that is not agreed to by Rav and others, which is that even though in other places in Shas we find such a principle that when it goes Rov and Karov, Ochim Achar Harov, that we do say when it comes to Rov and Karov, we go after the Rov, that is only cases where the karov is not muchach, that the karov is not obvious, determined, or proof that the karov should be the determination over here. So generally we say when it comes to a karov that is not muchach, that is not, you would say that the overwhelming evidence or the proof would be that it is karov, right? If that's not the case, then we say rov the karov, we go after rov. But Rabbi Chanina comes and makes a statement even further than that. He says, even with Karov HaMuchach, even when it's talking about Karov was Muchach, where it seems to be that the most obvious person to do such a thing is from the Karov, despite the fact, or in the face of the fact, he still says that Rov is Koveya. So because of that, the Gemara has all these questions over here, which it does not ask in other places. The Gemara doesn't ask in other places, Ruba d'Alma. Why doesn't the Gemara challenge these other cases of Rov and Karov in other places like this? Tosas, or the Reed, makes a suggestion that there's a difference in Rabbi Chanina's position versus like Rav's position in Rov and Karov. Rabbi Chanina's position, Rov and Karov, is even in the face of Rov, of Karov HaMuchach, like the case of Egla Rufa, right, where it makes the most sense that the closest city is the one that is, right, culpable, or the killer came from the closest place. Despite that, he says that Rov dictates. As opposed to Rav, which talks about cases like the butcher shops and other places like that, where the Rov and Karov, it's not Rov, there it's not a Karov HaMuchach. There's no Muchach that it should be this way, and there, and you don't ask these questions in other places in Shas. Right now, the Gemara asks other questions, and that's why this is found here from our Mishnah. It's not. Nipol animtzab toch 50 ama. That if you have a chick that's found in 50 amot, Ariusha Balashovech belongs to the dovecote owner that is in 50 amot. Even though in the area surrounding there are more dovecotes that have larger numbers of doves, which would be a rov. Despite the fact that you have a rov against the karov here, Marzez, Bidaleka, again, each time, there are no other dovecotes in proximity.
And over here, Ruba the Alma won't be, it's not really a question, not an issue, because as Tosus points out, none of the dovecotes are within 30 ris. We said before that 30 ris is the proximity by which one would assume that the doves would fly, and therefore once all the other dovecotes are not within 30 ris, when we say Bdeleka, then there's no question of Ruba the Alma, as opposed to human beings who move around and who would enter into these areas. When we talk about Ruba the Alma, that is not true by here by the birds, and therefore the Gemara does not continue like it did in the previous question. When you say Bdeleka, what about Ruba Ba'alma?
It says, Yachim is Seifa. Then what are you going to do with the Seifa? Chutz mi chamishi amamar, Rivushal Motzo. If it's outside of 50 amot, then it belongs to the one who found it. V'id Aleka, if it's no other dovecote in the area, Vadei mehau nafa. Where else did it come from? If there are no other dovecotes, and he's the only dovecote in the area, even though it's outside of 50 amot, where did this dove show up from? It says, Achim ha'iskine v'madada. Talking about a case where it waddles. It's waddle its way out. We're not talking about a dove that's flying. We're talking about a chick that only waddles, doesn't take to flight yet. And therefore, right, or 50 amot. 50 amot is the cap of how far a young chick will be waddle out or walk out. So because of that, we know that once it's outside of 50 amot, the person who has the dove coat has no claim over here. Because there's just no way that anything from his dovecote would have made it that far. So we have to assume that it came from somewhere else at that point in time. Whatever it is, if it's a holech derech, somebody was passing by, dropped it, or somehow its mother left it there, whatever the reason is that it got there, but we know for certain it did not come from this dovecote because it couldn't have made it there. It says, by Rabbi Yirmiya, raglo achad betoch 50 ama, raglo achad chutz mi 50 ama, is 1 foot inside the 50 amot, 1 foot outside the 50 amot. Mahu, what's the din? And then you know what the Gemara says? They threw him out of the base medrash for that question. So you would have thought why they threw him out of the question, because, come on, you know, there's no such case like that. 1 foot on one side, 1 foot on the other side. How could you say that? So Tosfos says, no, that's not the reason. How do you know? Because our Mishnah says, Mechsa Mechsa, found a dove exactly halfway between two dovecotes. You see, the Mishnah has no problem coming up with these cases that are mitzumtzam, so exact that it's halfway between the two dovecotes. So why not ask when 1 foot is on the outside, 1 foot is on the inside? So why do they throw Birmiya out, according to Tosfos? Why do they throw him out of the Beis Medrash? Because he, when it comes to Shiurim of Chachamim, we say this everywhere else. The shurim of Chachamim are exact. Like whenever you talk about a mikvah. Mikvah 40 sa'ah is kosher. 40 sa'ah minus a little bit is not kosher. What is so important about that threshold that it's exact? Right? Obviously, if there's a drop less than 40 sa'ah, you could still go into the mikvah and cover a whole person. But nevertheless, shurim Chachamim are standards or objectives. And the Chachamim say that a bird does not walk 50 amot, past 50 amot. They mean 50 amot, period. It can't even get in one leg outside of the 50 amot. That's like a defined, there is a, you don't question the shurim of the Chachamim, because the shurim of the Chachamim in that way we say are absolute and objective. And therefore we're never going to find a case where a bird will have a foot outside of 50 amot, because that's what the Chachamim say. 50 amot is the limit, so we don't talk about anything outside of 50 amot. Right, Tashma. Nimsa ben shnei shvuchot. This is the next part of our Mishnah. Karov lezeh shelo, v'karov lezeh shelo. That whichever one the dove is closer to, whichever dove code is closer to, gets it. The Mishnah doesn't define which one had more doves in it. All it asks is which one is closer. So you entertain the possibility that the one that is further away had more doves in it. So what are you faced with? You're faced with a rov and a karov, and what are we going after? We're going after karov, which is against Rabbi Chanina. Where it says, Achim Askinan, and we're talking about here, Shishneim Shavin, that they are both equal size. It says, Elezel Bata Ruba Da'alma. Maybe their dovecotes much bigger, that are not proximate, they're not the closest dovecotes, but they are much larger, so why don't we say that they should be the ones that define over here. Where it says, Achim Askinan, Bishvil Shel Kramim. Talking about here that it's a path inside the vineyards. Meaning, basically, that these birds are cut off from other dovecotes by vineyards. These two, not that there aren't other dovecotes in the area, but the other dovecotes that are in the area, are their vision by the doves is blocked by the kramim, whereas these two dovecotes are within the visible range of the dove. Why does that matter? Because demita demi'alma ate, that if they came from somewhere outside of this area, came into midade lo matze ate, that if they were waddling, they couldn't get to this location. That a dove will only waddle away from its dovecote if he still has it within his vision. It has to be within his vision or visible range. If it's not within its visible range, he will not go away from it. So that, if it wasn't the case that he could see it, he wouldn't waddle this far. So we know for certain, since it's Bishvil HaKramim, since it's on this path in the vineyards, and the vineyards are blocking the vision of the dove to the other dovecotes, we know for certain it did not come from those dovecotes. So only left, the only choices that are left, that it came from the one of the two dovecotes that can be seen from this location. And since those two are equal, and right, they are, there is no rov over here, therefore we go after karov. As opposed to asking, why don't we go after Ruba D'Alma, which is that outside of these two dovecotes, there are more doves in the world or in this area than exist in the two dovecotes, and you would have gone after Rove. So we solved that problem by saying the others are excluded because they are not within the vision of the doves, even though they're in the area or in the Kramim, they're just not visible from this area, and therefore they're not included in the Cheshbon over here. And these two dovecotes are equal, so the only Cheshbon is Karov, so Karov will dictate over here. So that's how Rabbi Yirmiyah gets out Abra B'Chanina, right? Will answer these Mishnayot or these problems in order to uphold his position that when it comes to Rov and Karov, we go after Rov. Okay, we'll stop over here.